On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state senator-elect of the 26th District prevailed in a packed field of Democratic candidates in last week's partisan primary. Kelda Royce is poised to take the seat held by State Senator Fred Risser, the longest-serving lawmaker in our nation's history. No Republicans ran in the district that covers the western half of Madison. What do you want to ask Kelda Royce about her plans for office and her priorities? We're at 800-642-1234. Kelda Royce is an attorney. She previously represented Madison in the State Assembly from 2009 until 2013. State Senator-elect Kelda Royce, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be with you, Kate.
Well, let's start with the legislature and the coronavirus. There was a COVID package passed by the legislature, signed into law back in April. And at that time, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said this bill isn't perfect and it might be the first of a number that we're going to have to pass in the legislature. Now it's the middle of August. Nothing has passed since. And the April legislation didn't use a dime of state money for COVID relief. What should the state Senate do next?
Well, the Republican-led legislature has really failed the state on so many fronts with the COVID response. One of the most urgent things for me as a parent of young kids is getting schools to be able to safely reopen. It is simply not possible for us to be talking about beating this virus and getting the economy back open until we can really get the community spread of the virus under control. And that means expanding testing and treatment. Certainly, I think the economic pain that people are feeling, whether they are just struggling small business owners or people who are unemployed or have lost hours at work, that needs to be addressed right away. And, you know, again, the Republican legislature let millions of dollars in federal funding disappear because they failed to return to work.
Well, Democrats have set their sights on preventing Republicans from taking a veto-proof majority in the legislature in November. If Republicans do control the Senate, how do you plan to push forward your priorities and work across the aisle?
Well, you know, we need to, I think, have enormous public pressure on Republicans to do the right thing. I mean, ultimately, saving lives from the coronavirus isn't and shouldn't be a partisan issue. Saving small businesses so that we can have a vibrant economy shouldn't be a partisan issue. And if you look at the polling, the people of Wisconsin overwhelmingly agree with the Democratic position, and they want their political leaders to be taking action during a huge crisis like this one. So it's really a matter of harnessing that public energy and really demanding that the Republican legislators do the job to which they were elected.
Okay, so what specifically do you want to push forward in legislation through bills that you want before the legislature regarding COVID relief?
Well, I think two really critical things related to health care and getting the virus under control. The first is we need to take the Medicaid expansion. We're one of the very few states that hasn't done it, and that means that we have, you know, over 100,000 by some estimates, Wisconsinites who aren't currently receiving health care that should be under the bill. And the second is we need to pass universal paid family and medical leave. The last thing any of us wants is for our hospital worker or the person who prepares our takeout food to be exposed to the virus or feeling sick and feel like they can't stay home from work because they'll lose their income. This is a public health emergency, and it's made it very obvious that we've got to make sure that people who are ill don't have to choose between work and a paycheck.
Do you find that the federal aid that is flowing to Wisconsin is enough, or do you want to see Wisconsin use some of its dollars to fight this virus?
Well, I don't think it's enough, and you know, part of that is the intransigence in Washington, D.C. I think Wisconsin has to allocate additional funds, but we also should be taking full advantage of the federal funds. I mentioned the unemployment money that Wisconsin didn't get because the legislature refused to come into work. We can't allow that to happen again. We've got to be, this is an all hands on deck moment, especially in terms of our budget.
We're talking with Kelda Royce, Senator-elect of the 26th Senate District, which includes the western half of Madison. We're discussing her priorities, plans for office. What do you want to know about her legislative goals? What about her stances on current issues? How do you want to see her working with other lawmakers to address the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's talk about some other priorities. People have been calling for more accountability from police after the killing of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police. And you said that you want money diverted away from police forces to help address this issue. Can you speak further there?
Yeah, well, what's really important to me as a mother and as a community member is public safety. And I think it's clear that simply throwing more money at police and prisons has not made us safer, but it is taking away really critical public resources from things that actually could create longer-term public safety. And I'm talking about investing in neighborhoods and in families, things like economic opportunity, affordable, high-quality childcare and early childhood education, making sure that every neighborhood has a great, well-funded and equitably funded school, and access to public services like healthcare and transit. These are ultimately what make communities safe. And Wisconsin is one of the states that spends more than 50% of our municipal budgets on police. And if we were getting a public safety benefit from that, I might say, great, you know, let's keep spending at these incredibly high levels. But since it doesn't seem to be yielding that public safety dividend, I think it's really time for us to get smarter about this.
How would you say to get smarter about this? Where would you divert funds? Where would it go?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I think it's really communities that have seen resources taken away and divested from those communities. So increased support for families who are living on the margins economically, safe housing. Madison is, and many other places in Wisconsin are dealing with a years-long affordable housing crisis that makes it very difficult for people who are earning low wages to afford safe housing. So improving the neighborhood outcomes in places that are seeing a lot of police presence because they don't have the kinds of economic opportunities and supports that wealthier neighborhoods have.
You bring up schools here throughout our conversation so far. Should schools be open in the fall?
Well, we don't want to be putting our kids at risk, and we certainly don't want teachers and staff to be at risk either. And because we haven't managed to get the community spread of the virus under control, it certainly is the safest option from a public health perspective. At the same time, I'm angry and disappointed that bars are open, but schools are closed, and that the federal government has decided that they're going to bail out big companies like airlines and cruise ships, while parents, working parents, are holding the bag and trying to manage this impossible situation in the long term.
There's been debate whether the governor should have a mask mandate in place and whether the governor should have that freedom to issue one. Where do you stand on that?
Yes, I think, of course, the governor should have a mask mandate. I backed it, and I joined Senator Larson in calling for that to be enacted. If a governor can't take reasonable steps to address public health and public safety in an emergency, in a crisis like this global pandemic, then I don't know what the purpose of government is. You know, nobody really enjoys wearing a mask. It's nicer to not. But when it comes down to saving lives and being able to reopen our economy, help small businesses survive and reopen schools, to me, it's just a no-brainer.
We're talking with Democratic State Senator-elect Kelda Royce on the State Capitol Report. Royce is poised to take the 26th district seat after winning last week's partisan primary with no Republicans running for the seat. What do you want to ask her about her policy priorities, her approach to fighting the virus, how she might work across the aisle? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with State Senator-elect Kelda Royce of Madison. She won in a large partisan primary last week and is poised to fill the seat being vacated by retiring State Senator Fred Risser. What do you want to know about Roy's objectives for office? What issues do you want her to care about most? Is it coronavirus relief aid? Is it police reform, water quality? How do you want incoming lawmakers like Roy's to deal with polarization and brinkmanship in the legislature? It's 800-642-1234. And State Senator-elect Kelda Royce stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Gary is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Gary.
Well, hello. See, I have a comment more than a question. I keep on hearing that the pandemic is a partisan issue. But in my opinion, it's not partisan. It's an election issue. It's like the people who are in power to issue the mandates that would tell us, oh, we have to wear masks or we have to follow this protocol of behavior. They're not doing it because they're afraid that if they do it, it's going to blow back on them and they're going to lose votes. So it just appears to me that it's more selfish than partisan because it's a question of, well, do we dictate something that's going to support the health of the people, or do I want to get back into office? And it appears to me that, you know, all the way to the top, that the politicians are not doing what needs to be done because they're afraid they're going to lose their job.
Gary, Gary, thank you for bringing that. Kelda Royce, what do you see at the intersection of public health and politics?
Well, certainly I think, you know, Gary's got the right idea about the dynamic for some folks. But, I mean, I think the larger problem in Wisconsin is that we've got Republicans who control the legislature, and they don't seem to want to do anything. You know, we know that the polls show that people overwhelmingly support the mask mandate. They supported the governor's safer at home order. And, you know, I don't know a single parent who isn't eager for schools to reopen. So I think that this is an issue where the public is far ahead of the politicians who happen to be in power. And, you know, people don't want the Republicans standing up to Governor Evers every step of the way and trying to dismantle his work to save lives. So I think it's a little simpler than that.
I want to switch to the Democratic National Convention, which kicks off today. How will going virtual affect the convention's impact?
Well, you know, I think it mostly will affect the delegates and the folks who would have otherwise traveled here. And certainly it's a huge loss for Milwaukee, which invested so much time and energy. And it was really a chance for us to show off, you know, this wonderful city to the country. I'm hoping that the DNC will consider coming back to Milwaukee in 4 years since we sort of lost out on this. But I think that all of us are very accustomed now to virtual meetings and video chatting. So, you know, and really the convention nationally is a media event, which will still be the case. And I really think that we should commend Joe Biden for his leadership and saying we're not going to jeopardize the public's health. We don't want people to be traveling during a pandemic. We're going to take the responsible course, you know, demonstrating yet again why he is a much better choice for president.
Well, Biden will not be coming to Milwaukee for the convention. President Trump will be visiting Wisconsin this week. Is it a mistake for Biden not to show in Wisconsin?
No, it's a mistake for President Trump to come to Wisconsin. We know that he has failed to take even basic safety precautions. You know, he often doesn't wear masks. He doesn't observe social distancing. He's the president, and so he's been able to use our public dollars to keep himself safe and test everybody who comes before him. But, you know, there are people close to him at the White House that have tested positive for coronavirus. He should be providing that same level of testing for the rest of us so that we can stop the spread. His hypocrisy is outrageous on this issue, and he's willing to endanger the health and lives of people in our state so that he can gain a political advantage, and that's shameful.
Talking with Kel DeRoy's former state representative, current senator-elect of the 26th Senate District, that includes the western half of Madison. We're talking about her priorities for office. Taking your calls, what questions do you have for the state senator-elect? What do you want to know about her goals and about her stances on issues? How do you want to see her working with other lawmakers to address the pandemic? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Last week in the primary, you beat out Nada El-Nakashvi for the 26th district seat. And during her campaign, she was quick to differentiate herself from you, saying that, quote, people in my community are sick and tired of decisions being made by the rich and powerful. El-Nakashvi is a Muslim Sudanese immigrant. How will you work to serve communities that feel left behind?
Well, this is, I think, a really important question for our state, because Wisconsin remains the worst state in the nation on many racial disparities, and Madison is among the worst places to raise a black child. This is unacceptable, and I think it requires a huge mobilization of resources and political will. These are issues that I've worked on throughout my career. When I was executive director of NARAL Pro Choice Wisconsin, for instance, I took on the issue of infant mortality and made it a priority for our organization. In the state legislature, I worked on issues like expanding access to health care and ending mass incarceration. So we have a huge amount of work to do. And I think, you know, it's very exciting and encouraging that last week we had a historic election in Madison. We elected two women state senators for seats that had never been held by women. And then we elected two candidates of color to the assembly seats in Madison, one of whom is a Muslim immigrant from, from Gambia, I believe. And so it was a really historic night, and it shows that our community is excited about having people who are effective and experienced and will bring diverse perspectives as well as policy expertise.
I want to ask you about unemployment insurance and the backlog we're seeing for people who have lost their job here in Wisconsin, not being able to get the dollars they need, the funds they need to be able to survive and pay bills. What would you do to address the backlog?
Well, the unemployment system has been designed to fail and designed to thwart people over decades of Republican intervention and lack of funding. So I think one of the most important things is that we need to hire more people to address the backlog, and we should have a presumptive eligibility. It's just unconscionable that people are waiting for weeks and for months with no determinations. Unemployment insurance is an earned benefit. We all pay in as employers and employees, and it should be there for us when it's needed. People can't be waiting for months and then not sure if they're going to be able to pay rent or put food on the table. Now, when people are determined eligible, then they can sometimes get a big check that covers a couple months, but that really doesn't help you if rent is due on the first. So I think we need to make sure that money is getting into hands more quickly, so that people are able to sustain their housing, care for their families, and then, you know, rather than having to wait.
Republican lawmakers had suggested grants to help people as they wait for their claims to be processed. Would that be an avenue you would pursue?
Well, I mean, I think that's sort of kicking the can down the road, because you still have the structural problems with unemployment. I mean, ultimately, I think we need to get money into people's hands so that we don't have a mass crisis in evictions and homelessness in our state. And so I'm certainly not going to say no to anything that is going to help people who are struggling at the margins right now. But I think, you know, ultimately, families and businesses need predictability. We need to be able to budget, and just, you know, deciding that you're going to throw out one or two stimulus checks to people really doesn't help with the predictability that's needed to budget.
You were in the assembly from 2009 to 2013. What did you learn there, takeaways that you may apply here as a state senator and change the way you operate?
Well, I think the most important thing, and the thing that I'm most excited about, is how important it is to always be listening and reaching out to your constituents. Some of the very best ideas for legislation came out of listening sessions that I had or knocking on doors with constituents. And in a pandemic, of course, it's hard. I wasn't able to knock on doors this campaign, and I really missed it. But there are lots of ways that we can stay in touch, and I'm really excited about that part. Bringing back coffees with Kelda, and, you know, when I was in the assembly, I even had listening sessions on the Madison Metro bus. So I think there are a lot of creative ways. People really want to feel like they have a voice in the Capitol, and it's my job to make sure that people really feel heard and listened to.
Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be with you this morning, Kate. Thank you.
Kelda Royce is a former state representative, won last week's Democratic primary for the 26th Senate District, which represents Madison, and she's running unopposed in the November general election. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Mary Kohler, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. She'll discuss efforts to fight a coronavirus outbreak at veterans' homes. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick programming note. Join us tonight at 8 for live NPR coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Milwaukee. A mix of live and virtual events is planned as delegates contend with the pandemic and work to nominate their party's candidates for president and vice president. That is tonight through Thursday night, starting at 8 here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we have the Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Mary Kohler on the line. We start with COVID-19 outbreaks. The Wisconsin Veterans Home at King and at Union Grove confirmed dozens of positive cases of COVID-19 among residents and staff at their facilities last week. The Department of Health Services is working 299 active investigations at long-term care facilities statewide. What do you want to know about how the veterans care facilities are managing outbreaks? Veterans, what do you want to share with the Veterans Department head? Join in at 800-642-1234. Secretary Mary Kohler, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, get us up to speed on the situation at Union Grove, where there is a number of positive cases.
Yes, at Union Grove, we have currently 22 staff and 19 residents who have tested positive for COVID. And I can't emphasize enough that just hearing the report this morning of the continuing increasing cases of COVID throughout our state, our staff members live in the communities that surround our homes, and particularly the Union Grove home surrounded by Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha counties that continue to see increasing cases of COVID. I ask the help us, help the staff that can keep the members safe. So knowing that we have staff members who have to go get gas, have to get groceries, please, I ask everyone, stay home if you can. If you go out, wear a mask, socially distance, wash your hands often. We're in this for the duration, and we need everyone's help to keep the staff healthy that will keep our members healthy.
You've called in federal nurses, I understand. Can you explain the circumstances there?
Certainly. You may be aware that our nation has a shortage of healthcare workers. It's a matter, a condition that has existed well before the pandemic hit. So when we have 22 staff members who are out, then we needed assistance with providing care to our residents of our Union Grove home. So we reached out to the federal VA. I personally talked with the director of the Milwaukee VA hospital and got assistance of up to 20 medical professionals who are able to help us. So that will get us through the stretch of having staff out with the coronavirus. Also, you may have heard that to assist us with testing, because our testing was being done by our staff. So to free up the staff to go back to helping provide care to our residents, using the National Guard, the Wisconsin National Guard is assisting us, and they will be doing testing of everyone, members and staff, next week.
And so National Guard is doing the testing of all people at Union Grove on Friday. Is that right?
Yes.
If the situation and you're seeing this outbreak spread, why couldn't the Guard come in earlier to do the testing?
Oh, we were having testing regularly.
Okay.
We've been testing regularly using the systems that are available. As I mentioned, because we had our own internal staff conducting the testing, then that was taking their time to do testing, which
I
was
see.
Taking them from actually providing care to our members. So this frees up our staff. You know, the demands on our staff due to the challenges of the pandemic. Having the Guard assist us with testing, that enables, again, the staff to provide care to our residents.
Are the federal nurses coming mainly from Milwaukee? Where are they coming from, and how long might they be at Union Grove?
Well, it'll depend on how long this outbreak lasts. The good news is that our numbers have leveled. We are currently at, again, 22 staff and 19 members who have the virus. But that it went from on August 4th, I was notified of 2. Now we're at 22, but it is leveled. So I hopefully, again, with the extra focus on preventing this disease, the spread of the virus, we have stopped the spread. But again, the virus is always there, and that's why I again ask that everyone do their part to help stop the spread. The staff live in the communities that have the coronavirus. The members aren't going anywhere, the residents of our homes. So the only way they can get it is if they get it from the staff. We do know we have had some family members who were visiting on the other side of the windows. That is not happening anymore. We actually have security to ensure that no one comes to the campus who's not actually there providing health care or a vendor delivering products.
3 residents at Union Grove have tested positive for COVID and have died. What do we know about these cases? Have there also been any more deaths?
Actually, the deaths that have occurred are of people, and again, to emphasize, this is a vulnerable population. There are people who already have conditions, and in this case, the people who died were on their final days. When we identified the very first case, it was of a person that was receiving palliative care. So that's why, again, I ask, please help. So the deaths have been of people who had illnesses, conditions that were leading to their last days. And COVID is just another thing thrown on their bodies to have to fight. So we had 2 people at the request of their family who did receive hospitalization. But that's determined by the families and the physicians of the residents, what kind of care, and again, because of the people who were already receiving end-of-life care, they remained at Union Grove, and then the 2 people who actually did go to the hospital.
We're talking with the Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Mary Kohler is with us, and you can join in. The Wisconsin veterans, what would you like to share with the head of the department? What questions do you have for Secretary Kohler? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Adam now in Appleton. Hi, Adam.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I am a veteran myself, served in the Army, and I currently I've been working in dentistry for quite some time. As a surgical tech and also training in dental hygiene. My question is, and I know that your guest has talked about comorbidities, this list of existing ailments that are present, but when COVID-19 is thrown on top, you know, it exacerbates, you know, all of these things that they're already experiencing. I'd imagine that a lot of the patients at this veterans care facility may or may not be up to 100% disabled. Because I know that being 100% disabled elects them to receive dental care under VA provisions. One thing that has been not really highlighted throughout this whole ordeal is the involvement of periodontal disease and the level of consistent inflammation that provides throughout the body. My question is, what kind of care are they receiving at this facility? What kind of routine prophylactic dental management are they receiving? Because periodontal disease is...
Yeah, Adam, thank you for that. Secretary Kohler, how is dental care handled at veterans' homes? Is there access to dental care?
Oh, certainly. So I really appreciate Adam's question. I think that's another good reminder of our total health, that how important dental hygiene is as well. So our veterans' homes, the veterans who meet the eligibility requirements to be at our state veterans' homes, they do receive dental care. And also, should they need it, their medical professionals, either in the community or trips to their VA hospital, whether that's in Toma, Madison, or Milwaukee. So I really appreciate Adam's question, that, and emphasizing again the total care. Let's, you know, take care of ourselves. We help take care of one another, and dental hygiene is certainly one of those ways.
Let's take a look at the veterans home at King in Waupaca County. Also cases there of the coronavirus. What is the situation at King?
Yes, at King, we currently have 19 staff members who have tested positive and 6 members. So far at King, the cases that have happened over the past have predominantly been of people who are asymptomatic, which, again, I mean, you hear me this morning, and I can't repeat it enough, that if we follow all the measures to stop the spread of this virus. So having staff who are out in the community and the risk of them bringing it back. So we have to emphasize what we can do. And then also I know that the staff knows that you just can't forget to wash your hands one time, or to not wear your mask, and to clean, and to be aware of what you touched in one room and don't take it to another room. So again, the focus on stopping the spread of this virus.
We have Veterans Affairs Secretary Mary Kohler on the line as we check in with her on veterans' homes and amid the pandemic. Veterans, how are you doing during the pandemic? Are you getting connected with services? Are you suffering from the economic downturn or have a question about benefits? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Secretary Kohler here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have the Secretary of the State Department of Veterans Affairs, Mary Kohler, on the line. We're asking about veteran services and care amid the pandemic. Veterans, what questions do you have for Secretary Kohler? What would you like to share with fellow veterans in these times? What is helping you through these difficult times? Are you able to connect with resources? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Secretary, going back to King for a moment, do you anticipate calling in federal nurses at King when you see staffing with this amount of virus?
Not at this point. Okay. The numbers of staff and the number of members, it's still within our control. Union Grove, in comparison, is we have about 150 residents at Union Grove, and at King we have about 475 or so. And so we are able to have people in isolation in a completely different hall that we have available at King. So it's a little different situation based on the size at King. But that is an option that we will use if the situation results.
I was going to ask you about having multiple halls or multiple buildings. Can you confine the virus to a specific hall or be able to use those other facilities in different buildings?
Correct. Yes, and that's the benefit, again, of the size of King. The separate halls, and there's not staff going between the halls. They're in one. And if we have members who test positive, we have a separate building, a hall, if you will, where they're in isolation from anyone else, any other members, and the staff who provide care at that hall only provide care at that hall. Again, there is no mingling to stop the virus. This is what we have to do.
How are you communicating with families with these outbreaks?
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked that. If a resident is positive, the family, the person who is listed as the person to call, that's who is called, the family member or relative or, you know, individual who the resident has determined will get the call if we have a positive. And otherwise, for just keeping updates on our homes and the coronavirus, our website, it's dva.wi.gov. We have updates. If I have it actually open on my screen right now, and if you go to the Veterans Home page and, for example, open up Union Grove, we just did a update on the 14th. And again, I want to emphasize the reason there hasn't been an update since Friday is because we do not have any additional cases. So if we have additional cases today, we'll update, provide another update today. So the website is the best way. The pandemic is teaching us all a lot of things. I'm talking to you on from home instead of in the studio with you, which I would have enjoyed. So we're learning that the processes of the past, where we would provide updates by mail, which we are still doing, we need to get an IT system that will enable us to notify people immediately by email. And so I have asked my information technology people to figure out, and let's get that paid for so we can get that updated. So that is definitely a understandable request of other family members who aren't that direct point of contact, that we are able to update people quicker. But in the meantime, we do update, again, our webpage. As change occurs, we are updating the webpage.
If you're just joining us, we are talking with Mary Kohler, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, getting an update with her amid the pandemic, taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Kenneth now in Janesville with a question. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello, Madam Secretary. There was a housing problem before COVID for veterans. I was wondering if there are any special programs related to COVID regarding housing for veterans now.
Well, I really appreciate your question, Kenneth. What has been so tremendous about being the Secretary of Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is learning of the relationships of so many nonprofits and other organizations that are focused on veteran housing. And for a good start, I just mentioned our webpage, but I'll also give you a 1-800 number, 1-800-WIS-VETS, which is 1-800-947-8387. We have a program, WDVA has a program. It's the Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program. We have coordinators throughout the state, standing by and actually going out and finding veterans in need, and most particularly those who may be homeless or with the threat of homelessness. So please help us get that word out. And if we can answer any questions for you, I encourage you to call that 1-800 number. Look at our website. The screen you'll see down in the bottom right-hand corner has chat now. Our Veterans Benefits and Resource Center people are ready to answer questions. So the programs that WDVA has, our Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program and our Veterans Housing Program to assist people transition from homelessness or potential homelessness to being able to live in the community. So I really appreciate your question, Kenneth. And again, I'm so thankful for, if not WDVA, the multiple organizations and nonprofits in Wisconsin who are ready to help veterans and ensure they are not homeless.
Kenneth, thanks. Let's bring in Rocky now in Wautoma. Good morning, Rocky.
Morning. How are we doing today?
All right. What is your question?
Well, I, in the past, have donated wheelchairs and walkers up to King. And I was wondering if they're still accepting them because of the pandemic.
So in the past, you have accepted accepted donations of wheelchairs and walkers, or you have given these as donations?
I have given them
okay.
to them.
Okay. Secretary Kohler, what about donations?
Well, Rocky, thank you very much for your donations to King, and I'll ask Kate to get your contact information so we can follow up with you. I would like to think that we could still take them with, you know, just the preventive measures that we would take. But Rocky, I just can't thank you enough for your donations and representing so many people that are so generous to our veterans' homes. So Rocky, thank you very much.
I want to circle back to the unemployment situation among veterans. The Labor Department reported last month that veteran unemployment rate was 8%. What are you hearing about how veterans are doing maintaining employment in this pandemic?
I appreciate your question, Kate, because that is a focus of the department. And again, most particularly with our Veterans Outreach Program to help veterans who may be experiencing either unemployment or the risk of unemployment. And that 1-800 number, again, 1-800-WIS-VETS, it's 1-800-947-8387. Call, chat with us, anything that we can do to help. And again, I come back to the organizations in Wisconsin that are standing by to help veterans. This is a challenging time, and we're in this together. So I ask that you help us help you by either calling or emailing us or taking part of that chat on our website.
Very quickly, before we go here, what will you do about staffing shortages at the veterans' homes going forward as this pandemic persists?
It is a challenge that we continue to be faced with. We have had work groups with the staff themselves that how can we work together to address this? You know, what changes can we make in our homes? This has exacerbated the staffing shortage that exists throughout our country. We need to work together to solve this problem and realize the challenges of those who take care of our parents, our grandparents, and in this case, the veterans who have served our country. Let's work together to ensure that we have enough staff at our homes and our other facilities, whether they're state-owned or not.
Secretary Kohler, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome, Kate. Great to be with you.
Mary Kohler is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. As Secretary, she leads the agency that serves Wisconsin's over 345,000 veterans and their families. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.